You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hey, it's a new day with Rhett Palmer. How you doing? I'm glad you're tuned in. And I have my friend, Richard Demsick. How you doing, Richard?
I'm doing well.
Great to be here with you. You've been the pastor of a couple of church. You've been called a priest, went to school for that, whatever that indoctrination is. You know, I'm a guy that never really graduated high school, so.
Been brainwashed, gone through the whole thing. You know, my dad, when he gave his life to the Lord, he had a bunch of his friends say, oh, you've been brainwashed by those Jesus people. And he said, after everything my life has been through, my brain needed a good washing.
So. Well, that's true. And, the last thing in the world, in case somebody's listening who doesn't know Jesus, the last thing in the world Jesus wants you to do is get religious. Because it was the religious people that didn't treat Jesus too well. He is looking for relationship, and we both have found our own personal relationships with Jesus. I was 29 years of age. I thought Jesus was a bunch of baloney. And I got born again gloriously in my living room, just he and I, when I was living in the ghetto as a struggling musician. When and what age did Richard Demsick, did your parents lead you to the Lord, or was that later in life on your own?
Yeah, I would say that the start of my story is the idyllic version of the Christian story, because I was raised knowing that God was my Lord and Savior. My parents were born again in the Jesus movement, Catholic Charismatic Renewal of the 1970s, and had a huge transformation. Actually, my father was led to the Lord, and then my father led my mom to the Lord, and then they became an item. And so they got married, and the relationship actually spawned from her conversion to Jesus.
And how many children did they have?
They had four, so I'm the fourth. They kept trying.
Are you the baby?
They were practicing for the perfect child, and finally I arrived.
They could cut it out.
No.
Well, your father's the reason I came into your church as a complete stranger one time, just because I like to go down and taste the waters of different places, put my foot in the water, and your father's dancing with his love, and yes, come home smiling at me and hugging me and saying hello. That was it. I was coming back because of your dad.
And my parents actually met dancing. So, yeah,
your dad kind of has a dancing ministry.
Oh, yeah, for sure. At the University of Michigan, he was a dance major. He taught Madonna how to dance.
He taught Madonna herself?
Yeah, absolutely. She was at the University of Michigan. She was a B-class dancer. There's like B and A, and he was an A-class dancer, and he had a group of B-class dancers that he taught how to dance, and Madonna was one of them.
Of course, she wasn't known as Madonna then.
No, I mean, well, that was her name. Madonna, I think it was her first name.
Really? That's actually a name that people have? I thought it was reserved for Mary in the Bible.
No, Madonna, I think it was Madonna's name.
Wow.
She had a different last name. But
yeah.
I talked to the artsy, she's passed away now. Actually, that's a cool story, too, about how she gave her life to the Lord. Not Madonna, no. The head of the program, of the dance program at the University of Michigan, knew my dad for years,
yeah.
was very against Jesus for a long time. Wonderful woman, but had a hard heart with those issues. And then eventually, before she passed away, she gave her life to the Lord. But when I asked her if she remembered Madonna, she was like, oh, I did vaguely remember that there was one of my students who became famous. And I decided that I would check out one of their, what do they call them? Music videos,
yeah,
and see if she had progressed in her dancing ability. And I was like, well, what did you think of her when you met her at the time in the University of Michigan? And she was like, well, she was a pretty girl, not very talented, but very beautiful. And then I'm like, well, what did you think when you saw her more recent music video? And she said, well, she's still a pretty girl.
She wasn't really impressed.
She was not impressed with her.
It's funny because you hear stories of Madonna saying that she used to go back to the garbage pails behind McDonald's and eat the burgers they threw out. Mm. And it seems like if there's one key thing you learn in life, and Jesus taught this too, is determination. It's not always, doesn't always go to the person with the most talent success. It's showing up. I mean, what did Jesus say? This lady wanted retribution. She wanted justice. And she goes to see the judge and says to the judge, I want justice. He says, woman, get out of my court. She comes back another day. I want justice. Get out of my court. The third time she comes back, he says, look, woman, though I fear not, the judge says, though I fear not God or man, I will give you justice because you keep coming back. And that is Jesus, actually, I believe, used that story to punctuate the Lord's Prayer. So even God is impressed with persistence.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't know if you know the story, but he went to a acting class to try to, you know, learn how to act because he wanted to be a movie star and everything. Well, it was very challenging, very emotional, you know, getting in touch with the inner child and being able to express that and different things. And he was having a real hard time with it. And the instructor came up to him at a certain point and said, "Why are you taking this class? Like, what is your goal?" And he said, "Well, I want to be a big movie star." And he said, "Well, you don't need to know how to act to do that." And Arnold was like, "Oh, okay, good." So he stopped the class. That's the last of it.
And I'll be back.
So part of it is knowing, you know, to use Madonna and Arnold, knowing your place in life. You know, Madonna is not the best dancer in the world. She doesn't have to be. Arnold is not the best actor in the world. He doesn't have to be. He has to know what he's offering. And in some ways, to put that into a Christian level of the scripture,
yeah,
is to say that we in the scripture talk about the different body parts. You know, we can be very easy to go,
the
oh,
hand,
man,
the
yeah,
leg,
like,
the whatever.
Oh, I wish it was that foot. You know, they got that impact on the ground and they project us forward and everything like that. And other people, oh, I wish it was a hand. I can grab stuff and everything like that. Oh, I wish it was the head. I can, you know, see what's going on. Right. The reality is we all have different places in the body. And to know and accept who you are and what you're called to do is a huge key point in serving the Lord and doing so in a way that you're content in all circumstances, as Paul talks about.
Well, that's really cool finding out that your father worked
Madonna.
With Madonna. Now, was he a born-again Christian when he was teaching her?
I don't know. That's a good question. I probably. He spent a lot of the time in the program being hated by a lot of people for two reasons. Well, three reasons. One, he loved Jesus and they didn't know what to do about that. Because when he got born again, I mean, it was like everything was about Jesus for him. And so in that time period, there was a lot of like anti-establishment and Christianity was seen as part of the establishment. So for him to be this super loving Jesus guy, super talented dancer who hadn't danced very long in his life, but was like getting leads because he was just such an amazing dancer. And then three, had the biggest smile on his face because he had just came to relationship with God, so he's super happy. So you got this smiley, talented guy who's stealing all the roles, but super nice and happy and talking about Jesus all the time.
And some people don't want you to be happy. They feel jealous. Or, of course, Jesus said, "The world hates me because I show them that their deeds are evil." So, you know, what are you going
to
do?
And it's easy for people to think when they see a huge smile and somebody dancing around that it's fake. And so a lot of people thought my dad was fake, but he's the real deal.
We'll come back to your dad and your mom a little later on in the broadcast. Right now, though, before our first little calm break, I want to ask you this. How did Richard Demsick, though, at what age did you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been bought and paid for by Jesus and you had entered another kingdom?
I knew from childhood. Like,
really?
I never had a period. Now, there was a period where I questioned whether God loved me. I never questioned whether he died for me. I never questioned whether he was there. But whether he actually loved me for me. And that's been a lifelong journey.
You've had a hard time with self-love. You actually considered suicide at one point.
That's right.
And then God used it later on to stop and walk backwards. You get this urge. Tell him that story, how the guy the young man was going to do himself in.
When I was about 12 years old, I was suicidal and almost ended my life. And then years later, when I was still in high school, I was like 17 years old, I ended up going on a walk, felt the Lord actually lead me. Well, I didn't think it was the Lord at the time. It was just like, felt the sense of like, oh, I got to walk this way. I'm like, why should I walk this way?
So it's ugly. You were going one way, turned around because of the sense.
That's right. And I ended up seeing this kid on the like fence, literally, with his hoodie on, looking all, you know, mysterious and like a drug dealer, and at least like a drug dealer commercial in the 90s. And I felt like this urge to go up and talk to him, which was weird. And so I decided, whatever, might as well go up and talk to him. Went up and talked to him. When I got closer, saw that he was actually a kid that was crying. He was 12 years old and was going to commit suicide that day. We talked for hours and everything like that. I didn't know he was going to commit suicide until actually months later. But we ended up sparking up a relationship, and I ended up leading him to the Lord and became like a big brother to him.
Really?
And, yeah, and it was all just listening to like that sense of what God is doing. But it is, in terms of coming full circle, I was able to have empathy for the kid who was just struggling with his life because of what I went through when I was 12 years old.
Now, you've had a sort of a different kind of a ride. I have a hard time with organized religions, but you actually became a priest for a certain, a segment, you know, like Catholic.
Denomination.
You became a priest. And then later on, now you're at another church and you're taking over kind of like as just a regular pastor guy, whatever they're called.
Human being.
So, yeah. Whereas when I think of a priest, I think about, you know, for instance, I'd go see the Catholic priest when I was a kid in school and the ringing of the bells and all that stuff. Why the priesthood, which is more of a formal, that's the right word I'm looking mm-hmm. for, more of a formal position. And now wouldn't you consider that you're the pastor, and the name of the church you're at, by the way?
Freedom Church.
And that's over on 58th Avenue in Vero Beach, Florida, which is very accepting of all kinds of people. You even have an outreach to the alcoholics. It's called Celebration.
Celebrate Recovery. Yeah, Celebrate Recovery, which is really for anyone who's struggling with any kind of addiction or even any kind of habit or you know, struggle of any kind.
Sure.
So a lot of codependents are there too.
A very 40-second quick version. Why priest? Why pastor?
The quickest version is to listen and obey. The Lord has brought me through a roller coaster, and each twist and turn, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm just trying to each step of the way listen to what God is telling me to do and obey. Like that kid that I end up talking to at the fence, I just was following those little prompts of like, hey, I'm supposed to go over there. Oh, okay, sounds good. And then, oh, well, there's someone who's struggling here. It doesn't really matter. I don't care about the titles. If there's an opportunity to help people and bring
you
them to
it.
Jesus.
All right. And, of course, folks, remember, someone somewhere needs your random act of kindness. As it's written, give unto others, your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. To hear this interview in its entirety, tune in later this afternoon. I'm Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day if you want it to be.